This is the Film Effect with Tiff.
I always try not to get too attached to a place, to objects, or to people. Hey,
Jude. Life's so light, like an outline we can't ever fill in or make any better.
I know you see other women. I know it.
Take off your clothes.
I can't bear this lightness, this freedom. I'm not strong enough.
I'm weak.
I'm going back to the country of the weak.
Everybody, welcome to the Film Effect with Tiff. I'm back again. How are you doing? How are we all doing? How are you affected? I am seriously affected by this freaking quarantine. It's doing a lot of weird things to me, but I am still able to podcast. So I'm prepared. I have a guest with me. She has been a little bit under the weather. And maybe we can even discuss that. But my friend this week, my guest and my amazing friend from my childhood, this is all this show is now, is I just bring in people from my childhood. I'm like, that's it. That's what's happening, is my friend Donna. Donna, speak.
Hello, hello, hello. Hi.
Donna, hi. Welcome.
Thanks for having me, Tiffy.
Hey, man, this is like the joy of joys for me that I can do this. And we're FaceTiming each other, so now I can see you as I talk to you, which I wasn't doing before, so it was a little different with my other guests. Sorry, guys, you didn't get to see me. Trust me, you're not missing much. Anyway, so this week, if you, you know, all my listeners out there, the millions and millions of listeners, you know that I'm really popular. And I do like to play a little quote before we do the talking, which is this part. So if you heard the quote and you're following all my pages, you might know the film that Donna picked, which is The Unbearable Lightness of Being. And I was like kind of surprised. Not surprised, but it was actually a movie I've never seen. And so tell me, Donna, tell me your pick and why, like, just give me a little bit on the pick that you chose on this movie that you chose to talk about.
Let's see. Well, it was one of my favorite. It is one of my favorite books of all time. And usually books don't make good movies. And I think this falls into the rare category of a book that got even better on screen.
Yeah. It was a very interesting movie, let me tell you. I put it on in the living room and I knew it was kind of a sexy movie, but I was like, how bad is this going to be? Because like my kids have been wandering through and listen, they've seen me watch lots of weird things. I mean, you can't even watch TV nowadays without some boobs or like some going on, right? I mean, Game of Thrones, I don't know. My kids are pretty cool with anything at this point, except porn, which I would not watch.
I hope
in their
not.
Presence, at least yet that hasn't happened. No one judge me. No, but seriously, you know, it was fine. But it actually was a more, for my my first take on it, it was more like deep and kind of like
it's more sensual.
But it even had like depth and like history in it that I didn't think was coming. You know,
the politics.
So can I ask you? Yeah, so what I'm going to do before, because now I'm already talking a lot, and I haven't even let you speak yet, so sorry, barely. I'm going to give my basic stats on the film so people that are listening can look up this movie. So this movie is called The Unbearable Lightness of Being. It is from 1988. It is directed by Philip Kaufman, written by Milan Kundera.
Yeah.
I guess that, did she write the novel as well?
Okay.
Him? Yeah. Is that a him or her? Jean-Claude, oh my God, I can't say that. Carrier. Donna, do you speak French?
No.
I don't know. Okay, fine. You're done. Daniel Day-Lewis is the star, along with Juliette Binoche, Lena Olin, who is my favorite by far. Love Lena Olin. Yeah, she's like the awesome hat, everything. We'll talk in length about her. And there's other people in this, but I think those are the main movie stars in this film. And that's basically, you know, those are the basic stats. I will say, let's see what they describe this film as, because I think it's a complicated thing to even describe, I would assume. In 1968, a Czech doctor with an active sex life meets a woman who wants monogamy, and then the Soviet invasion further disrupts their lives. What do you think of that?
Yeah. In a nutshell.
Yeah. What else? There's a lot of other things going on in this movie, but I mean, it's like, I have to give it to them. They really summed it up in one sentence somehow. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah. So tell me, so you did read the book. Did you say that?
Yes. It was in my early 20s when I found the book. And that is when I think most people are questioning, what is love? What does it mean? Is it light? Is it dark? Is it both? Is it chance? Is it choice? And I think that what drew me to the book is it asks all of those questions.
It does ask a lot of questions. Oh, you know what? I want to do something. I'm kind of scattered, guys. I'm sorry. I just went running. I am. I didn't give you... Donna, I want you to introduce yourself in a more descriptive way. So I'm going to tell everybody real quick, and then I'll let you, if you want to add more to my description of you.
Okay.
So Donna isn't just a friend. She's a very good friend from my childhood. We grew up together. Best friends. Since we were little children, and we grew up in Fallsington, PA, and I've spoken about you quite a bit. If you haven't been listening, I talk about you all the time, especially when anything pops up around the Catholic Church.
Yeah.
If anybody had listened to my episode with my wife when we spoke about the two popes and Bombshell, I spoke of you during that episode.
Ooh, now I have to go back and listen to that one specifically. Okay.
You really should. It's a really good one anyway. But I've known you for many years, and we actually lost touch for many years, and then we ended up finding each other through Facebook, of all things, and now we are back and connected, and it's awesome.
Yes. And we live parallel lives.
We live completely parallel lives.
Yeah.
It's totally bizarre. There could be a movie about us. Yeah. Such a crazy scenario.
Italian dads.
Same dogs. Our parents have the same dogs.
Colorful mothers.
Very, very vibrant.
Vibrant. Big personalities. Yes. We both have been through divorce. We both have two kids. Both have been, both got remarried. Yeah.
It's parallel so crazy. Lives.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's funny that you say that when you start listing the things we really are. So tell me, what do you want to add, what you do or plug anything before I get further into this conversation about yourself?
I used to live in New York for about 10 years, moved back to Bucks County, back to Fallsington in the early 2000s. And I used to work in the cosmetic industry, and now I'm a real estate agent and live with my two kids. And my husband lives 3,000 miles away.
Right.
Yes.
And that was a very interesting article in the Philadelphia Magazine recently.
Yes. Thank you.
Yes. I'm plugging you now. But So we have a lot of really similar experiences in our lives. And actually, I think this movie is interesting because it plays around with some very unconventional ideas about love and sex and relationships. And I feel like in my personal life, I've encountered that as well. Yeah. And I think also, as you're speaking, it's the same thing. There's kind of these traditional ideas about what a relationship means and what that is and what is love and all of these things. And I think this movie actually resonates a lot with those ideas and themes, even personally for me and possibly for you as well.
Well, and the one major theme, I think, in the movie is, chance, right? The chance of meeting someone, the chance when Tomas and Teresa meet up by those, utter coincidences, right? And look at you and Nicole, look at the way you guys met by chance, right? And it plays into the romance. It plays into the story, I think, sometimes. You know, Teresa felt like that. Teresa felt like they were meant to be because of those set of chance circumstances.
True, true. Yeah, and they're very different people. I mean, so is there anything that you, like, what do you love about this movie specifically?
That it asks the questions.
Okay.
I think that it doesn't give you definite answers. It shouldn't, because everybody's going to have different answers to those questions. But the most important part is that you ask them, right? Like, there's people that just kind of go through their life and they just do the check everything off. And then there are people I gravitate toward that like to sit around and ask the questions of themselves and then talk about that with other people. Have, you know, conversations that have substance and meaning and, you know, you're able to connect through other people because you're talking about those things and asking the questions.
No, that's so true. Yeah. And did you find that the book is very different than the movie, or?
The main difference, I think, is you can hear more of Tomas's inner voice and his struggle with his love of Teresa, right?
Okay.
Because, you know, he's part of his womanizing, I believe, and this is my interpretation, especially when, you know, you first meet Sabina, right? And he says, what was the line? That, like, this is the woman that knows me the best, or that she's the one that really knows me, right? That was said in the beginning. Right. But I don't think that she knows him at all, because they have a very casual type relationship. She knows a piece of him, but until, I'm sorry, you're sharing a sink, you've got to put your dishes away, you've got to pay the bills, like that other more intimate side of someone, even though they are majorly intimate with each other, but I don't think they know each other intimately.
No, I don't think they do at all. They know each other physically, but they don't know each other because they're not challenging each other, you know? Right. And I think if you are in a real relationship and you have to deal with the difficult pieces, which are like you said, like beyond just the physical and beyond all those other things, then you're, you know, and somebody who really gets to see all of you, that's hard for all of us. We don't, not everybody likes it. And I think that's why relationships are tough, is because it doesn't feel, I don't know. It's very risky. Yeah. It's a risky thing to be committed to somebody. You have to be really vulnerable and put all your shit on the table on some level, whether you like it or not, it's going to come out. So I'm going to do a fun thing that I like to do with people, which is kind of walk through the story a little bit.
Okay.
And I make little notes, as you guys know. They're not intelligent notes, but
well, I wrote little notes too as I was going through. So let's see what you wrote.
All right, I'll start first. First thing I wrote, which is just I wrote noticing things down. One thing is I noticed how it opens like a storybook. There's like words on the screen. It felt like they're trying to translate it from a book into a movie in this kind of way.
Right.
And I thought that was kind of interesting. It also felt very playful because the music was like very colorful and almost like a fairy tale, which was a little bit interesting because then some of the first things you see are him being very, you know, provocative with like a nurse.
Right. Isn't but I also think fun? That, and that's the way Kundera writes, like in these very weird situations, and it allows you to, I think, delve into his heavy subject matter, because you're not going to say, oh, he's such an asshole, look at him cheating on her, look at this. It's more of a study into how he, you know, views physical love. It's study about how he, and I think that when they did the fairy tale type music, it plays into that, like, let's study this instead of let's not judge him. You know what I mean?
No. Yeah. And I liked it. I mean, like, I like anything that looks like a style that's going to make me question like what is happening here. And it was kind of funny. I mean, I think it's also because the movie is an 80s movie. And so it looks a little different than obviously when you look at 80s movies, they're just different. You know, it's so funny. And I actually, it was odd because I just brought up Bombshell, but there's parts in the beginning of this movie where he's like a bit of a like I don't know. It's like he's not, the women are going along with it. But like if a man were to act like that now, I feel like you can't get away with that. You just can't get away with it, right?
Oh, there you are. I'm sorry. I lost you.
Did I lose you? Yeah. It's okay. It's all right. It's just probably the connection. Thank you, quarantine. You've ruined everything. No, my internet speeds. No, but honestly, like he, because my funniest joke about him, especially with the women, is one of his first lines with everybody is basically just like, take off your clothes. And I'm like, does that work? Can we do that now? Can I just walk into a room and be like, hi, how are you? Take off your clothes. And like, they're like, oh, sure. And then they just take their clothes off, which I know it's like you said, it's a movie and it's like there's other stuff going on. But I don't know. I don't know. I mean, maybe I'm missing the time period.
Yeah, but I also think that that speaks to his confidence level. And he's a surgeon.
Yeah, and it works for him.
And he's a surgeon. So, you know, anybody who's at that level of, you know, their career, he's at the top of the game. Like, he's got to have this big ego, right?
And I know, look, and he's like a brain surgeon.
And all of the other colleagues are, you know, watching him and seeing what his moves are. And, you know, that's the opening scene. Like, how does he do it?
You know, he's like hunting down his prey. He just like calmly sits in the corner. I love it, man. He looks across the room and he's like, just so confident. You're right. Like, he's just Daniel Day-Lewis and he knows it. Yeah. Everybody in this movie is like, we're all so hot. We're beautiful and gorgeous. We're young. Sure. Let's take our clothes off. Ask me to do that now. I don't think so. I am not at that point in my life anymore. I don't feel like I'm 20 something, but like, it's a sexy movie. It's a little bit of a, I think at the time it was like a hot movie. It was a controversial movie, obviously. So those are some of my first thoughts, was just that, and I wrote, he views his world through the eyes of like sexuality a little bit. And also just almost like he's looking at women like they're his prey, kind of, in the beginning. Now he shifts dramatically throughout the story. So I do think he shows some depth to him, even though it starts to feel like it's more about the women in the movie. There are parts of it where I definitely felt like it was about him. And then I kept thinking the whole time, because the one thing about when you watch movies, it's kind of like you want to know who's your main protagonist, like, who am I with? So at first I'm like, I'm with him. But then there's a part where the story turns and I feel like I'm not with him anymore. And then I kept thinking, whose story is this really? But maybe it's all of their stories. And go ahead.
And and I think it's your story as your, right? Like, okay, so think about it. When you're in your early 20s and you're trying to figure out what is love and you're trying to find, you know, is this romantic partner? Am I going to marry this person or why should I get into a long-term relationship? And then you're in it, but then life happens around you, which that's where I think that he changed. It's more of like he had to adapt to his surroundings, to the political crisis, to losing his job. So then all of a sudden you're not in the situation where you're only able to like focus on these big questions. You have to live your life, right? You just.
No, you're right. Yeah. I mean, it's almost like whatever playful thing was going on. It's okay.
I'm sorry.
Get it out, Donna. It's okay.
Corona.
Yeah. I think that it's Corona. My Corona. Sorry. I like, I've been like, I've been substituting Sharona with Corona lately. It's probably not the best song to sing. Okay. However, I do think that, and I think it's interesting how the times shift his actions a little bit. Like what's happening at the time. I mean, it's a very fun thing in the beginning. And then he meets her. She is, God, Juliet, man. She is like this young, childlike, awkward, weird, nervous. And there's like this awkward nervousness about her sexuality, which is like really interesting. What is that?
Yes, yes. And it's so funny because I wrote that. Like when he says to Teresa, take off your clothes, she's so much more demure and shy. But then when they are in the act, she's like barking, right? Like she was just for her, it was like so animalistic or I don't know.
It was so weird that I literally started laughing.
Yeah, it was pretty weird. And especially because with Sabina, she's so artistic and she's so light. And but I think because Teresa is, she's the heavy one. She's the one that like brings him back down to earth. She tethers him, you know?
Yeah. She doesn't, she's no bullshit either. Like there's that, I think what I liked about her character is at first you might read her as kind of, like you said, like one dimensional, like this kind of young, childlike, unexperienced woman who's like taken by this man and then they have this thing. But it's very clear, like as they get into their relationship, that she is not afraid to say really serious things to him and call him out on his behavior.
Yeah.
Which I like thought was so cool.
When his hair smells, like that made me nauseous. Like, ew, that's so gross.
I was like, what does it smell like?
Lady parts.
Listen, I had a feeling everyone smelled because she had like hairy armpits. And I know that's like a European thing, but like there's now I'm just throwing Europeans under the bus. No, I'm sorry. I don't mean it. You guys are not. What am I saying? Anyway, I'm just saying that I don't know. They lived in a different time. I feel like people were a little less, you know.
Yeah.
Clean. Whatever. But clean. Thank you. So what other notes did you have just starting off?
I really like the way that Tomas, when he said, you know, the thing about living two lives. Right. Mm-hmm. Like even when he was talking about Teresa, like we only get to live one. Like I don't get to kick her out and live that life and like figure out what that life would be like, or let her stay and live this life and then choose between the two. Like, you know, that life is like an outline that you can't fill in or correct. Right. And that's
right.
You know, which one is the best? Which way do you go? But you only get to live once and you've got to live with the, you know, consequences of those decisions.
Yeah. It's interesting. And I do think one thing I did have to remember as, and I remembered this because the story goes from them and it's playful and then it gets serious. And then there's, you know, the communism coming in to wherever they are, Czech Republic.
Yeah. And the Soviet.
Were they?
Yeah, and the Czech Republic.
Yes, and the Czech Republic. And it does change the sense of
Prague.
Go ahead.
And then they escape to Prague. Yeah. Yeah.
And then they escape to Prague. But I think there's also a sense that women at this time don't have so many choices, it feels like.
Oh, yeah.
Not really. Not. I mean, it's kind of on the verge of that. You feel like there's more, like, especially with Sabina's character, she's kind of challenging all the ideas of what women's roles are. And I love that. I mean, I think that's why I really loved her character, because she's kind of like, I don't really care. I'm not going to go along with these traditional ideas about women and men and what their roles are. And she's unique because of it. She's challenging the times, and she continues to throughout her choices.
Yeah.
With men and with moving and with not and with committing. Women. And
I mean, there's a piece of her that loves Teresa. Right?
Yeah, that scene was nuts, by the way.
Because she doesn't, I got the vibe that she doesn't see gender. She saw the person.
Yeah. No, you're right. You're right. So I'm walking through. Okay, so now let's move it along a little bit so we can see. Okay, why did I write this? This is so funny, guys, what I just wrote down. I wrote, no bras are allowed in Austria. obviously I was noticing that people weren't wearing bras. I don't know why I wrote that.
And meanwhile, I wrote down street photography. Teresa,
yes,
as an observer. She's, you know, she's there to observe everyone, but not judge. That's what I like about her character. I don't find her very judgmental. Did you?
No, she wasn't judgmental, but she was so hard on herself.
Oh yeah. But she's so heavy. You know?
She's heavy and she was comparing herself, and she saw her belief system and what she cared about, I think, as weak compared to these people.
Yeah. Because she felt inferior.
And it took her to some dark spots for a while. You know, it's like, and I, you know, listen, I can relate to that a lot. I've done that a lot, you know, where you see people that are very brave and doing unconventional things as like confident and like, I don't know what that is. And then I would see myself that way too. So you're right. This did bring up questions about my own self, and all the sides of us playing out in different people, kind of.
Yeah.
Pretty crazy. So they go and the revolution, you know, they come in and it's this whole, you know, now it's time to have a revolution. You said there's the street photography element. The movie goes from sex to this whole political thing. And it becomes more about, there's like a whole montage sequence where you see her through the eyes of photography, the streets, people protesting, you know, all the stuff that's happening. And then they flee to Prague.
Yeah.
Now, in that time, they got married before this happened. I'm trying to remember. He marries her.
Yes.
When does he do that? It doesn't.
With the farmer and the pig.
Oh, towards the end. Yeah.
But the farmer, he's there the whole time with that pig. I love the pig. I mean, it's just so silly. It's just.
It's crazy. Yeah. The whole thing is just. But before they go to that part, they go to, I think, Austria. And they're all there. Like, they find out that Sabine is there. And they're all kind of, like, in this space for a while. But then she gets frustrated with him again because he ends up back with Sabina, like he's screwing around, and she's like, I'm out. Like, she basically meanwhile she's kind of trying to build her photography career and do something, and she leaves and decides to take this backward step. And then oddly enough, he goes after her, which is a crazy move. Didn't you find that to be shocking?
No, because if you read the book, I mean, his whole struggle in his life is that no matter what he does, he just loves her so wholly that it was that she was brought to him in this basket. Like, this is, you know, the analogy that's used in the book, that it wasn't like he had no, it's almost like he had no control over it.
No, I guess you're right. At that point, he was like,
he just couldn't be without her.
Yeah. And I think at that point, you're right, because she's being seen. I mean, he's being seen fully by her at this point. And I think it's funny because the movie, it really has some strong scenes. I will say, when I think about that, and that scene's popping up in my head specifically, when he comes back to the apartment and the cactus is on the table because she was photographing the cactus, and there's the letter, and it's just that.
Yeah.
And there's really no dialogue, and it's a long moment. They take the moment and you don't have to say anything. You just get it. It's like you get, and that's why the acting is so great. I mean, I can't ever say enough about Daniel Day-Lewis. He's just like ridiculous at all times. He's just like an insane actor.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he really does. He just demonstrates it, and you just don't even have to, you don't have to have it explained to you. I think like the next scene you see him like in his car going through the checkpoints, you know, and he's just doing it. What else? What other notes did you have? Let's go to Donna's notes.
See, you know, during the revolution, life continues while you are, you know, asking the big questions. And then Sabina's boyfriend, when he ends the marriage, that, you know, he can't live in the lies, that he needs to live in the truth. And I think that Sabina thinks that she lives in the truth. But when she is confronted of like really having to like connect or really having to commit, she runs away because
I know
it's almost more important for her to be so light and to not that like the commitment would bring her down and she needs to float. I think that that's, you know, where she's most comfortable.
Yeah. And it's also like her cross to bear per se, because she struggles with it. I think you watch her struggle with it. And then at the same time for her, the other is too strong. Like she can't really find freedom with someone attached to someone.
Right.
Is, or at least that's her equation. Maybe in her mind, her equation is like commitment means the death of my freedom. And maybe that's a comment to the time period. I don't really know. But yeah, I mean,
yeah,
I loved her whole situation, to be honest with you.
And that she ultimately, I forgot about that piece, that she went to the United States.
at the end. Yeah, yeah,
she goes, I forgot about that. Yeah. That she, yeah, you know, and ultimately went to go do. And that's also about her growing too.
Yeah, it is. It is about her growing. And
even though that artwork, in a weird, that artwork was so 80s, wasn't it? When she's in that studio with the couple.
Dude, she's airbrushing.
Yeah.
She's got an airbrush. I mean, it's the best. It's amazing. It's like so cool. It's probably like right when that shit was starting to happen. Yeah. Maybe everyone thought airbrushing was going to be like the newest, coolest, you know, work of art.
Yeah.
And then it became like the shit that you see at the boardwalk on the, you know, like it's just unfortunate. But anyway, I think you're right. It's kind of like they all have this, like, they're all in relation to each other. It's almost like they're in this relationship together, the three of them, even though they're not with each other. And that obviously becomes clear in that very long scene. Sorry, everyone. The scene with Teresa. I mean, that was just nuts. Like, I didn't know.
When they were doing crazy naked scene. Pictures?
Yes.
Yes.
And there was the mirrors and like then how she role reversed her and took the pictures of her, you know, Sabrina takes the camera.
And then when he found the picture in the drawer, do you remember that?
No, I forgot about
that. Oh yeah. Cause then that's when they were in Prague, right? And he found the picture that she had, the naked picture in the drawer from when they did the little session.
Oh yeah. I mean, it was such a long scene, and I don't know if that was to do something edgy for the time, but it was like there was no dialogue, and I don't know, it was really a strong scene. There's so many strong scenes, like that felt long, though. I felt like they really took time with it, and it was interesting.
Because it's all about her personality, like, right? Like, she's so shy, and it took her so long, but then once she opened up, then she became so playful and she became so childlike.
Yeah, and she's running around the room like a little kid.
And giggling and
Yeah. And then she's kind of crying while she's photographing her. That was really effective, I should say.
Yeah.
Yeah. To show her struggle with all of this. And I did love that, you know, being a photographer, I love the whole aspect of the voyeur, you know, that she becomes in the situation, almost like she's outside of it. Because that's what a camera does. You know, the camera, I think, I don't know what some people think. Everyone has different opinions about it. But it's really, it creates a barrier. Like, it's not that intimate. It can be, I think, it can be an intimate tool with people. But I find it a lot of the time, it creates you know, like a third wall. It's kind of like the second the camera comes up, you're suddenly removing yourself from the situation.
Right.
Yeah. It's not like you're really in it anymore. And so maybe it was a great tool for her in that moment to protect herself from this very complicated situation she's in with her, you know, with him and with her. And then suddenly it's like, the camera comes down and now the camera's on her. It's a great scene. I actually kind of want to watch it again. It's funny, when I watched the movie, I was just trying to figure out what was happening. But like now that I've seen it, it feels deeper, like on a deeper level, reliving it in my head a little bit. I should go back and almost watch it again. So thank you for this suggestion, Donna.
Yay.
Yeah.
So what else do I have in here? Oh, when Teresa goes and leaves him, when she's had enough and she goes back and she says, life is too heavy for me. I can't bear this lightness, that she can't depend on him for everything. And, you know, she's going back to the country of the weak. I thought that was really strong because she was just, you know, that's her. You know, she views herself as so weak and that she was going to go back there and be by herself. But in doing so, it showed how strong she really was. You know, I thought that was really, and that's, I wrote on here, what do we really need?
Wow.
Right.
That was a strong choice. And I think the setting of, you know, I wonder how this person wrote this story, but the setting of, you know, a communist state, right? A communist situation. It's, you know, it's so symbolic to what's happening to her personally. she literally chooses to put herself in a place where she cannot make choices. Because now, you know, going back, like, and all the things that were happening with the photographers and the work and people were being accused and, like, it was a very different situation. She went from a place that was a very free scenario where she had all of these opportunities to her, and she purposefully puts herself back in this place that is going to literally force her to not have so many choices anymore. It's like really in every which way, not just in her own choosing. It's like even the environment is limiting her. And even him, because now he's back in a situation where maybe he's still a brain surgeon, but it doesn't really mean anything because you're not able to, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It changes the whole playing field for them to be back there.
And then when she has the affair, right?
Oh my God.
And yes. This is what I have. Teresa has the affair to get back at Tomas, not because she wants to have sex with that guy.
Wow.
Right? She just wants like some type of emotional revenge.
Yeah. And that guy like just rapes her, by the way. What is that?
Yeah.
It's like horrible. And she just like lets him. She's just kind of like.
Because I think she, you know, wants to get back at Tomas.
Yeah. It's a sad scene.
Yeah.
It's a messed up moment.
Yeah. But then I think that also was like the turning point for them to finally go down the path. To really find out like what it is that makes them happy.
Right. Yeah.
And it's that simplicity, like, you know, the unromantic part of life of, you know, getting up, working really hard in the field, like playing with the animals, like having dinner, like all those super simple things. And all of a sudden they became so happy.
I know. And then they just die. And the last thing they say is, I'm happy.
Yeah. But that's life.
Wow.
Right?
Is it? I hope so.
No, meaning that you finally get happy and then you just die.
Donna. Oh, it's so fitting, isn't it? I mean, it's just, oh, wow. Yeah. What a crazy movie, man. It's interesting looking at it now in this time period. So when did you see this movie? How old were we when this movie came out? Let's think about it.
The book came out
in 88.
The book came out in 84. The movie came out in 88. I read the book in the late 90s.
Okay.
So I probably saw the movie in probably the early 2000s.
Wow. Okay. Yeah.
I would think. I don't really remember, but. The book is, you know, I mean, look, here it is on my bookshelf. Like
the hat.
Yeah, the hat. And I have like pages that are, you know, earmarked and things that are circled. And there were, you know, a couple pages that I would always like kind of come back to. You know, there's this one thing where Tomas has this dream, right? This is not in the movie. And in the dream, he finds his other half, the perfect woman. And it's like going to be their happiness forever and ever and ever. And then he wakes up, but he longs to go back into the dream. But even then, he looks over at Teresa and knows that even with the perfect woman in my life from this dream, I would still need to be with Teresa. Like I think he just, you know, he keeps questioning what is love, what is love, what is love. But all along, he knows it. Like he loves her.
Yeah, he does love her. And that's clear by the end of the film.
Yeah.
And I don't know about Sabina. I mean, she's just, she's left onto her own devices, I guess, you know, but she's okay. Yeah,
but she's okay, I think. And maybe maybe she hasn't found the love of her life yet. And for her living the way she lives, that she needs to live in such lightness, that's what her love is. Maybe it's not a person, but it's just being in that constant state for her.
Yeah, I think that's where it's like she's like a different breed of person in a sense. And that's like what makes her the happiest is to just constantly be in that place. And that like, you know, the unknowing, the kind of like constant unknowing and not having anything that's real. Committed. So let me ask a few things, and you tell me if you've got to go, because I don't want to keep you too long if you're, you know, whatever's going on in your home life there. So the hat, what is the hat symbolic of? What is this hat about? I mean, I know it's just cool looking and it's definitely like a style thing for the situation of the movie. But obviously you just kind of, she just showed me the book. The hat is on the front of the book. So what are your thoughts on that?
Well, doesn't she explain that it was her grandfather's hat?
Probably.
Yeah, did I not pay attention? I believe that she explains that it was her grandfather's. And I think that there is some meaning to that. It's, I need to look that up a little bit more. But I, you know, again, it's used as a prop. It's used to, you know, especially since she's not wearing any clothes. That's the only thing that she has to wear. But it's, I think, supposed to show the fun, you know, that he's having fun with her and that it's all, she's artistic and plays into like her role, I think. I don't know.
I do too. And I'm going to take it deeper than that. So okay. I think that, you know, it's a man's hat.
Right.
And,
right.
And she has a masculine sexual energy because she's not, like Teresa. Like Teresa's playful. And there's a lot. Listen, we're all different. I'm not going to get into my sexuality. It's going to be fine. Don't worry. I'm not going to go there. But I don't think anybody wants to hear that. But what I'm saying is I think the hat represents almost a putting on of this role that she plays. And she is forward and she is strong sexually with him and with men in general. And I think it's a symbolic move to say that, like, when I put the hat on, it's time, you know, this is the Sabina that's here right now. Let's do this. And she's going to be, you know, very in charge of what she wants.
Yeah.
With no apologies. And I think that it's interesting because I may be wrong, but I feel like in the scene with Teresa, the hat does not play a role with that weird scene that they have.
Right.
Which makes me think that she's being a little more womanly in a sense that like she's more vulnerable and she's going to be softer in those moments than she would be when she's playing around with guys, which feels a little, you know, because it is a very different look and it's a very different outfit.
Yeah.
And to the point, I'm going to take it really far. Not only that, instead of even wearing an outfit, she is completely naked.
Yeah.
Completely naked. There's scenes where she's just taking all of her clothes off. Now, I know it's for the pictures, but I do think that means something.
In the other scene, isn't she in a white button-down shirt? Like a man's shirt?
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's totally playing a male.
Yeah.
Like some kind of masculine energy with that look. And I wonder if that was purposeful, but I'm guessing it was.
Yeah.
There definitely was a lot of fun stylized stuff that they did with the mirrors and with the shadow and the light and like the duality of all of them, you know, where you could see the two of them at one time. Do you think there's something about her laying? I mean, there's a very classic image of this movie. Every time I looked up a picture to use like on my feed or whatever to you know, to kind of promote this episode. The one picture that popped up a million times was that picture of her laying over that mirror.
Right.
I don't know if it's just a sexy picture or what, but you know what I'm talking about. It's like, she's in that interesting outfit and the mirror is on the floor and she's atop the mirror and she's looking at herself.
Yes.
I don't know what that means, but, or it's just hot and people like it. Who knows?
No, I think that it plays into everything you're just saying.
Mm-hmm.
And she's going to take a look at herself, a deep, deep look at herself. That's a line from a Saturday Night Live skit. Sorry. You need to take a look at yourself.
Oh my God.
In that way. Yeah.
Take a deep look.
She's taking a look at herself.
Did you have anything else? Like, what can we say else about this movie?
I just have here, and I will, because this is the way I started it, saying that it asks the big questions. What is love? What is connection? What, you know, encompasses relationships? Mm-hmm. What does that mean? What is fidelity? And what is sex? And I think,
dude,
That's what they're all asking. They're trying to figure it out, but everybody's answer is different. There is not one answer, right?
So what do you, I'll get personal with you. So do you have answers for that for yourself? Like, what do you think? Well, I'll ask a really interesting therapy question. Go ahead.
Why I was so brought to the book in my early 20s was because, you know, I leaving my college boyfriend. Am I supposed to marry him? Am I supposed to go out into the world? Am I supposed to have these experiences? What am I supposed to be doing in my early 20s? You know, when you have those, like, that moment of, like, becoming a young adult and making that, you think that all those big decisions, right, are going to be so big and so impactful in your life. And then now at 45, when you look back at those questions, you know, they just take on a whole different meaning, you know, it's,
oh yeah.
Yeah. Going, you know, after having two kids and being divorced and, but you know, it also is funny when you know, when I met my first husband, it was on a train in New York City in one of those, you know, random, I missed my first train, my second train broke down, the third train, there was standing room only, and he was like standing across from me, and it played into that chance and played into that, you know, where I was in my early 20s. So back then when I was asking those questions, those answers were different for me, you know. Now when I look at it, it's totally different.
Well, yeah, that's life, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, nothing's happened to you yet, you know. When you're that age, you don't have the experience you have now. And that's the thing. That's, oh my God, that was crazy. Siri just decided to interrupt me, and she doesn't understand. I don't expect you to understand. Listen, watch the movie for yourself. Then we can talk about it. Okay. no, but honestly, it's a really interesting, those are really interesting questions. Tough ones. And I think there's a naivete about us when we're young and a romantic idea that we have about love. And I'm even going to go to the religion part because I have you in front of me. And I think that, you know, watching it now, I'm much more free in my mind about everything. But I think even back then when I was younger, if I was putting myself in the role of like a Teresa, Sabina's character feels so, oh my God, beyond anything I could even fathom in terms of the way I would act.
Right.
And that was just me personally. And sometimes I wonder if my repressed notions of what is like allowed comes from my upbringing of, you know, Catholicism, to go there, and like all the ideas around what that is for me. And I think that played a lot of it played out very interestingly in a lot of the things that happened to me when I was young and the choices that I made.
Up in a fancy white dress when you're in the third grade and pretend marrying Jesus had no impact on your sexuality later on in life. What?
Let's do it. Let's go there. I mean, maybe a little bit, probably. But no, so I mean, do you? All right, but see, like, you seem unaffected by this. Like, did it have an effect on you? See, we haven't talked about this specifically.
The whole Catholicism on my sexuality, I don't know. I've never thought about it, but it definitely played into making sure that like everything was done right in my, you know, early 20s of not living with someone. I mean, I did, but I wasn't supposed to, you know, getting married,
right. So
like checking off those Catholic boxes so that you're living the right life. Yes. Because then, you know, when you're ingrained in that, you feel like, you know, that guilt, or you have to be a certain way, or you have to live your life a certain way, that otherwise you're not going to be good. Like, that's what you're taught as, you know, being raised Catholic, I think.
So, yeah, and absolutely, that everything you just said, but so it did affect you. It was still hanging on.
Oh, yeah.
In a way that you were, you know, making life choices around these ideas of like,
oh, yes, absolutely.
Being a good girl and like doing what you're supposed to. Yep. And I'm saying, so that's what I'm getting at. Yeah. It's kind of like, you know, you could choose to be a Sabina, you could choose to be different and just fuck it all and fuck who you want and do whatever you want. However, there's that little voice that's like, you're doing bad things. You shouldn't be doing that. And I wonder, I just always find it interesting. What'd you say?
You better get in that confessional. Right?
Like, yeah, or you better put a, yeah.
We were taught that in the second grade. Got to, you know, go sit in that box and tell that man, right?
Oh.
How you're a bad little girl. Yeah, that's a whole other episode, Tiff.
We should do it. I can't wait for the hate emails. At this point, everyone, I am really trying to get hate emails. Like, I will talk about anything to upset you. This is where I've come this far, but no, I, you know, it's funny. I do like to talk about this stuff because, whether or not, you know, whatever you believe in, everything that we experience as young people affects our choices as adults. And
especially when the adults are telling you that as a young person, like they're indoctrinating you into that. I'm not going to use the C word. Indoctrinating you into their beliefs, right?
What's the C word? All right, never mind.
Cult.
That was very loud.
I'm sorry.
Just saying. It's okay.
But yes, listen, you're young, your mind is, you know, being molded,
yeah.
And that's when you're getting all of those ideas about yourself and your, you know, ultimate, your later on, your sexuality. It's all formed by what you perceive as being a good girl, bad girl, all those things.
Totally. Yeah. And that's, and like you said, that's probably a whole other conversation for a different movie, yeah, that brings up that stuff,
yeah,
which I've found plenty, actually. Yeah. Even The Exorcist, which is a really interesting conversation with another Italian Catholic that I randomly met. Which is really actually a fun one. But, you know, it's this movie was really cool. And I'm glad that you brought it to my attention. For everybody listening, if you're bored, this quarantine has got us all doing,
yeah,
who knows what.
Go watch it.
Yeah, go watch it. I mean, do you have any other last minute comments or anything you want to say about this movie?
Well, I think we've covered it mostly.
We have covered it.
We have.
Is it a fun movie to put on if you want to get frisky with your partner?
Well,
maybe
depends.
Not.
It depends on the kind of relationship you have with your partner. In some ways, you might see the movie and want a little piece of that. You might, maybe your life isn't, you know, as light and airy, or you're not connecting with your person the way you should be connecting. So if you see the movie, it might bring some issues up. You know, I don't know.
That's true. It's true. Well, just the title alone is like a very, like, it's a mouthful, isn't it? And like, what is it even really, like, even if you,
right,
say it out loud, the unbearable lightness of being.
Yeah. And
okay.
I have this open on my computer. So, because it says, what is the unbearable lightness of being? The idea of an unbearable lightness of being comes from reversing Nietzsche's idea of eternal return.
Can you please explain that to me, Dr. Tana?
The author wonders if any meaning or weight can be attributed to life, since there is no eternal return. That whole concept of we only have to live it once, right? If man only has the opportunity to try one path, to make one decision, there is no point of comparison and hence no meaning, but instead an unbearable weightlessness. No decision can be considered informed or moral if we cannot compare paths.
Wow.
So, and that's what bothers Tomas about his relationship with Teresa, because does he stay? Does he, you know, go? And he's, you know, so unbelievably bothered by that, because you only have one path. Although, or you can be like us and get divorced and then go get to choose a new path.
You do. And you can only make your choices at the time in your life with what you've got.
Right.
And so, you know, that's the thing. And so, I mean.
So ultimately.
Chance, I loved, I'm going to kind of bring this back to the beginning of what you said, which was so awesome, that a lot of this movie struck you because so much of it, there's an element of chance. I love the word chance that you said. And I think that's a big, part of this film, you know, things happening by chance and then also decisions. Right. So I don't even know what I'm saying about that, but I do think that's like where I feel about my life. My life is such a combination, right, if I'm going to get personal, such a combination of, you know, naivete, you know, growing up, learning as I'm growing up about life and about relationships and about my role and everything. And then also so many chance moments that, you know, helped me learn different lessons to make different choices moving forward. Right.
Right.
Yeah. So, and I mean, that's really all it is.
Learning to forgive yourself along the way.
Yeah. Yeah. I think we all have to be nice to ourselves, guys. Yeah. I'm good enough. I'm smart enough, you know. But no, and I mean, it's true, though. Like, you know, do you feel wiser at the age you're at now?
Than 22? Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
45?
I do.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I do. We've been through some heavy things.
And you know what's really fucked up? I'll just say this. The funny part is that you gain the wisdom and your life evolves and then you make different choices and you're where you're at. And then the kicker of all of it is that sometimes, even at this point, and I'm not even old yet, I miss that time of not knowing.
Yeah.
You know, like you kind of go, man, to be 21 and like not fucking have a clue and just like, it's almost like we reminisce about something that was not easy. It was not an easy time, but I kind of like want to go back, and I have moments in my head where I think about that. And I think about that kind of, that space that I had, you know, that I had nothing in front of me yet.
Yeah.
And I had no children yet. I mean, we all can do this. We all relate to this. Anybody who's my age and has children, or just their lives are completely different. It's kind of like, it's funny how you look back and you can almost want to relive it even though you don't want to relive it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. I'm getting deep. This is a deep movie, man.
It is. Go watch it.
Everybody watch it. All right, Donna, before we go, any suggestions on a movie to watch after this or any other things that you want to share with people? It's your opportunity to talk to my audience.
I didn't even think about this. Another movie. One of my favorite movies, The 400 Blows.
Ah!
Good time.
All right, that's next.
Do that one. Anything by Wes Anderson. That's a nice chaser to this film.
That is, and I also love that you said The 400 Blows. I love The French New Wave, and I love that movie. And yeah, man, get some respect to old movies, guys.
Yeah.
Don't be afraid. Put on an old foreign film. Make some French food.
Yeah. The other night we watched, I don't know how to say it, Diabolique. Have you ever seen that?
Diabolique.
Did you ever see that?
No. I'll tell you, I'll admit, I've seen the dumb remake with Sharon Stone that came out in the 90s, by the way. Did you know that?
No.
Look it up. It's not a good movie. Okay.
Sorry, Sharon. The original from 1955. I know a friend of mine is good friends with her. But the one from 1955, excellent. David and I watched that the other night.
Yeah.
So that's right.
Well,
that's
these are some excellent suggestions.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right, Tiffy. Donna, thank you.
This has been a sheer pleasure of my existence. And
yay!
I'm so happy that we did this deep dive into.
I'm so glad that I survived coronavirus to be able to be here today.
Me too.
Yay, I got to live.
All right, well, listen, maybe if you're really bored, I'll have you back on. We'll see what happens.
I'd love to.
All right, listen, everybody. Awesome. Well, thank you again. Thank you, everybody, for listening. And please subscribe, like, bother me, write me a message, follow my Facebook page, call my house. Just come on over. I don't even care. Just let's hang out. Whatever you want to do, but just give some love to the Film Effect with Tiff. And we'll have another episode for you hopefully next week. So see you next time.